Well, good morning, everyone, and I hope all are doing well. Let's start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I praise you and I thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you for the knowledge that you give us in your word. Help us understand your word, and that we can learn from it, learn how to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. I titled this one a little bit different because, as you'll see when I get to the end, I never really realized it, that basically from this siege that's coming up, that we're going to prophesy here, until and ongoing till now is what they call the time of the Gentiles. Basically, that Jerusalem no longer has a king, and never, and even through Jesus' time frame, never again was there a king that sat on the throne in Jerusalem. And that the Gentile nations have always had a little bit of a foothold. When you think about Jesus' time, you get the Romans. Right now, it's still the Babylonians. And up through the rest of the Old Testament, it'd be mostly the Babylonians. And then the Romans take over. And from the Romans, a lot of different countries have occupied Jerusalem. Even now, the Temple Mount is actually controlled by the Jordanian. So that's why I named it that. So you'll see as we go along, I'm going to kind of point to some verses that kind of shows us that. So let's jump in. Yeah, I won't get through this whole chapter this time. We're going to do about half and then finish it off. It's kind of split in two anyways. This first part, because the word of the Lord also came unto me, and me being here is Ezekiel. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of the rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not, and they have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Couldn't help but think about when I read that those seven churches that Jesus talks about in Revelation 2 and 3, or at the end of each one, those that have a ear to hear, which includes everybody. So here the Lord through Ezekiel is also using that same kind of terminology. Over in Deuteronomy 9:7, it mentions that, remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until you came unto this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. So true that, gosh, it seems like, but I got to say that there's a lot of people that can claim that to this day, including myself, you know. My early years, I tried my best now not to, but that I always try to follow the Lord. But I think that it's a general nature of sin that we're going to rebel against. And now I've learned my lesson, but I got to admit I went through a period of time myself where I didn't know the Lord as well as I should have. And I think I provoked him to a little bit of anger on occasion. So also on over in Acts 7, 51 and 52, here Stephen is giving it's just before he got stoned, and he's talking to the Jewish leaders in the temple, and a very similar thing. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. So Stephen here is reflecting back to this time frame. Which of the prophets have you not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers? And here he's talking about Jesus Christ. And of course, immediately right after this, they took him outside and they stoned him. So they killed another prophet. Well, actually, he was more of a disciple, an elder. Okay, back to Ezekiel 12:3. Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing, remove by day in thy sight. Thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight, and maybe they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. This next section is kind of fun. Ezekiel's going to play a little pantomime type of a game where he's going to get the attention of his people that are around him to convince them that Jerusalem is going to fall. And so what he's going to do is he's going to pack a bag, and he's going to sneak out of his house, and he's going to walk around with his bag on his shoulders. He's going to go back into his house, and he's going to dig a hole through the wall and do it again and come out of the house and sneak it out in the middle of the night, covered with his face covered. And he's going to walk around and go back into his house. And so we'll see what happens after that point. So starting here, 12:3, verse 4. Thou shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight as stuff for removing, and thou shalt go forth at even in their sight as they go forth into captivity. So this first phase is he's taking his stuff like he's leaving town permanently. He's going to walk around town with his stuff. He could have a whole cart full of stuff, maybe like his furniture, his housewares, kind of showing that he's leaving permanently. And he's going to walk around town and kind of get everybody's attention. This is an indication to kind of show what's happening, that they were taken into captivity and it's somewhat permanent. So you might as well take all your stuff with you because you're gonna be there a while. Then dig through the wall in thy sight and carry out thy abide. So now he's going to do it again. He's going to do another little demonstration. And this is going to point to something that happens in Jerusalem, just about the time the end of the siege is happening, the final siege, and Nebuchadnezzar is winning. The princes of that time frame, Jehoiakim, is the ruler of that time, and rulers in those days usually didn't fare well whenever a new kingdom took over, and you're going to see why here in a minute. Right here is now he's symbolizing what the king of Jerusalem is going to do in the future. Realize right now we're in, it's about 594 BC. So in about 5 years, 6 years from now, when he's doing this, is when it's actually going to happen in Jerusalem, about 585, 584, 586 BC. Give you an idea that this is definitely a prophecy. But over in 2 Kings 25:4, it talks about this, what the king's going to do in Jerusalem. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were against the city round about. So Nebuchadnezzar's troops were all the way around the city. And the king went the way toward the plain. So the king there tried to sneak out through the city gate and out through the wall to escape the town, and try to sneak out at night and hoping that Nebuchadnezzar didn't catch him. Also in Jeremiah 39:2. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. So this is the actual destruction of Jerusalem. And all the princes of the king in Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, even Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, Rabbeinu, Nebuchadnezzar, Rambag, with all the residual, those are tough names, of the princes of the king of Babylon. And it came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judea, saw them and all the men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out the way of the plain. So he was trying to sneak out of town. He's not going to succeed. Well, let's go back to Ezekiel 12:6. So here Ezekiel's still playing this little pantomime game. In their sight shall they bear it upon their shoulders and carry it forth in the twilight. Thou shalt cover thy face, that thou shalt see not the ground, for I have set thee for a sign unto the house of Israel. So basically this is symbolic of what's going to happen to that king. That basically his eyes are going to be blinded after Nebuchadnezzar captures him. And here Ezekiel is showing this kind of in... And as a prophecy, but more of like showing it like a play than it would be like the intel. He's already told them, but Now he's doing it to kind of show them. And I did so as I was commanded. I brought forth my stuff by day as stuff for captivity. I was getting ready to move permanently. He's leaving the area. And I even dug through the wall with mine hand. I brought it forth in the twilight, and I bare it upon my shoulders in their sight. And in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, What doest thou? And say, so God is saying, when they come up to you and say, What are you doing? And this is what God is telling him he wants him to say. Say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, This burden concerneth the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel that are among them. Say, I am your sign, like as I have done so. So shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity. And the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulders in the twilight, and shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. He shall cover his face, that he see not the ground with his eyes. My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Yet shall he not see it through, not see it, though he shall die there. So that was basically Ezekiel saying that Zedekiah is going to be brought to Babylon, but he's never going to see Babylon, but he's going to die there. Believe it or not, there were some people in that time frame saying, that ain't going to happen. That couldn't happen. Matter of fact, one of the other prophets actually said it, not understanding what was going to go on. But over in 2 Kings 25, 5 through 7, it tells us, And the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king, brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. That was actually kind of common, that a king that was overtaken, they didn't want a chance for the sons to try to rebel and basically removing any chance of a lineage from the king to take over the land. Kind of gruesome, but that was pretty common warfare in that period of time. Okay, and he slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and realized that Zedekiah could have, and this is God's commandment to him in the past, that he should have just surrendered to Nebuchadnezzar. Things would have been fine, and it, he would have taken his punishment, and in about 70 years, Israel would have gotten their city back, according to God. But that's not what Zedekiah did. He thought he could beat him. So I put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. If you remember, we talked about this part when he was doing that little thing for a year where he was laying on his side and he was encompassed with straps to kind of make it look like he was bound. That was a prophecy of this prophecy. So back to Ezekiel 12, verse 14. And I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him, and all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after them. And this particular part here, just to show you that what they're talking about here, we'll see in Ezekiel 17, 21. And all his fugitives with all his bands shall fall by the sword, and they that remain shall be scattered toward all the winds. And ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. So remember the prophecy that God was going to scatter all the Israelites into all the world. That's basically just started to reverse itself in 1948. Most of the Jews have been scattered all over the world since then. Well, except for during the period of time with Jesus, that's true. But that there were Jews scattered all over the known world, even in Jesus' time. Okay, Ezekiel 12:15, And they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. Second Chronicles talks to this also. This is where we get into this idea of the times of the Gentiles. So I'm in 2 Chronicles 36:14. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which is he had hallowed in Jerusalem. By the way, this passage here explains why God is doing this in the first place. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, the prophets that came to him, you know, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, rising up bedtime and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. That also includes Hosea. This is for the northern kingdom. There was a few others, Hosea, Jonah, different prophets that also were slain or not taken seriously. Verse 16 of 2 Chronicles 36. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of Chaldeans, that would be Nebuchadnezzar, who slew their young man with the sword in the house of their sanctuary and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. Now God is basically saying that he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to do this. Nebuchadnezzar may have been the tool, but the one that actually allowed it to happen was God himself. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with the fire, and destroyed all the godly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of king of Persia. That's when Cyrus comes on the scene. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, unto the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. That is the main reason. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. So that would be 70 years. So for basically, the rule was every 7 years, they were supposed to let the land rest for a year. And during this last 490 years, they were not doing the land, allowing the land to rest. So this was the punishment God put upon them for not doing that. And so he basically forced them into captivity, and now the land was left desolate for the next 70 years. So it got its Sabbath. Back to Ezekiel 12:16. But I will leave a few men of them from the sword and from the famine and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen, whether they come, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So basically this is the end of Jerusalem. The prophecy of it actually hasn't happened yet. It's still about 5 years in the future. But I kind of thought this is a good spot to kind of indicate that this is that the fall of Jerusalem at this time, and the temple is destroyed, and that there's no longer any king over Israel. Israel never owns all of the land of Israel up until this day, up until 2021. There's still Gentiles who control parts of Israel. As we already know, about not only the Temple Mount, but you look at Gaza or the West Bank, they're all controlled by Gentiles. And so so far up in, even through Jesus' time, the Romans were in charge. You know? So this is reflected in Jeremiah 39:8. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. We just read this, I know. Then Nebuchadnezzar Dan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away, the people to him, with the rest of the people that remained. So there's no more, except for a few isolated farmers were left in Jerusalem. The rest were all taken into captivity. And Jeremiah 39:10, but Nebuchadnezzar Dan, the captain of the guard, left of the poor of the people, which had nothing in the land of Judea, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. So the verse it tells us that is Luke 21:24. This is Jesus talking and letting us know exactly what's happening here. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. Okay, that's the part that we just talked about. It's going to happen in 585, 584 BC. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That times of the Gentiles being fulfilled hasn't happened yet. So I just found that rather interesting, that's kind of like the, never really thought about it until I read that verse, that we were there. And I'm going to end there today, a little bit shorter today, because I couldn't see trying to finish the whole chapter today. So I will end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you so much for this time to look into your word and to see that you're a person who keeps promises, and that you're very proud of the fact that when you say something, that's going to happen. And so we look to that promise, Lord, that in the future also, that we'll look forward to seeing you real soon during the rapture, and that you'll fulfill all your prophecies leading right up to the millennium kingdom and the forever kingdom. And I give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, well, I will talk to you again tomorrow. And so I hope you have a good day.